I landed on my head and I was knocked out, and I laid on the street for somewhere to 5 to 7 minutes and came to, and my life drastically changed after that.
Okay. 5 to 7 minutes laying unconscious in a snowstorm in Minnesota.
Yes.
Hello, friend, and welcome. I'm Tammy Enfield, brand strategist, marketing expert, and creator of the Candid Content Framework. Through conversations with creators just like you and sharing stories from brands and thought leaders, we'll harness the power of authenticity and give you the confidence to create content that empowers you and your audience. If you're ready to build a kinder, more empathetic world, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Candid Content Revolution. Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Candid Content Revolution. I'm getting my feet wet in here, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy having conversations with people about authenticity. I did not anticipate loving it this much. Missy Bozer, my guest today, is, I'm going to be honest, we hadn't talked more than probably 5 minutes in a couple LinkedIn DMs before getting on the podcast together. I met her at a networking event here in Minnesota, and she mentioned having a blog that was really authentic, and she didn't do it anymore, but she really loved what I was doing in terms of the podcast. And I was like, oh, you should be a guest. And right away she was like, no, I'm good. And then when we connected on LinkedIn, I was like, you sure? Like, I'd love to talk to you about authenticity. So she hopped on. So you'll hear us chat about that experience. There's a few people that we, you know, mentioned, some common friends, some past podcast episodes was mentioned too. She really enjoyed podcast episode number one with Nora Shepherd, and she kind of shares why. But what I think I loved most about this conversation was her realness about anxiety. I mean, she then told me a story about having fallen and, you know, experiencing a traumatic brain injury that I knew nothing about. Conversation was truly candid, but her take on anxiety and talking about how she uses it as a superpower. And I think we've all heard that, right? Like, anxiety is a superpower, ADHD is a superpower. But those of us that have a deep, dark relationship with anxiety maybe don't see it that way. But her take on it was really interesting. And I hope those of us that have anxiety know of someone with anxiety, or will know someone with anxiety. Maybe takes that little piece of advice and shares it, or, you know, share the episode with someone. But I think I really enjoyed this conversation, and these conversations are why I'm having the podcast, right? Like, this is powerful content. This will connect with somebody with anxiety and help them think about it in a different way, because it made me think of it in a different way. And I have invested plenty of dollars learning about my anxiety. So excited for you to listen in on my and Missy's conversation. And cheers. Cheers to a beautiful day here in Minnesota. So you're a consumer of TikTok.
I am a consumer of TikTok. And it is either like amazing dog videos, or like, I'm back into young adult reading. I spent a whole lot of time on the whole like leadership and growing myself as a leader. And now I'm like back to young adult.
Well, so interesting that you say that, because I too have, I think we must all go through it, like a phase of like self-development. I need to better myself. And then we're like, okay, well, this is a never-ending hole I've gotten myself into. And I just keep needing to better myself. So let's move back over here to fiction. And I almost find like you can learn as much, if not more, from fiction.
I totally agree. Although, you know, I don't know how much trolls are helping me, but maybe
there could be some, you know, lessons in there, just like my, you know, fictional morally gray men, as they're putting it on Instagram. I don't know. Yeah, I think we all need some sort of an escape somehow.
Yeah.
But you, okay. So we like had 5 minutes at the end of that meeting.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I used to have a blog.
Yes.
And it was all about authenticity. And then, you know, I was like, oh, you're going to be on my podcast. And you're like, no.
Yes.
And here we are. So tell me about, well, first, let's do the appropriate intro, right? Like everybody needs to say who they are, what they do, and where they are currently seated. Let everybody know.
Okay. Well, I am Missy Bozer. I am, I would say, removed from the content creator space. Now I am just a consumer of content and possibly a critic of content. And I live in the Twin Cities. And in my real life, I am a leader and subscribe to being very authentic as a leader, which you don't get often. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. So what do you lead? A big team, little team, business? Do you own your own business? Like what type? You're in tech?
Yes, I'm in healthcare tech. I have a team of 19 and I have three different teams. So the 19 is comprised of three different teams. I lead a business architecture team. I lead a business analysis team and I lead a solutions engineering team.
So when you're saying that, all I hear is like, I'm not smart enough to have this conversation with you, Missy, because I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
But you do. So those are all titles. Like, I always tell people.
Like you're a big fucking deal. That's what that sounds like.
Thank you. Thank you. Although I appreciate that, but not really. Like I'm just another cog in the system of cogs that make things go.
Well, I doubt you give yourself enough credit for that, but so we like briefly chatted at this leadership conference or luncheon on Valentine's Day that we were at. And you said, oh, I love your, like the platform or the idea of your podcast. I used to, you know, have a blog. Tell me about the blog you used to write or like when you were less of a consumer, more of a creator, what was it about?
So I was a health and wellness blogger. I started blogging back when blogs weren't what they are today. So very much, I was never really someone who just like blogged about my day, but I blogged about my experience in health and wellness and my journey through that. So my blog was called Getting Fit to Find Myself. I had gone through a health and wellness journey of having lost 100 pounds through truly being healthy, eating different, learning to love running and becoming a diehard runner. At the height of that, I was running somewhere around 100 miles a week. And,
oh my God, that sounds like hell.
You know, the me before that would have said the same thing. I play nice in the sandbox, but I'm really just someone who wants to do my own thing. Like team sports are a lot for me. And so running just was a really nice, like, let me go out. And it turned into my meditative state of like, just go out, go for a run, get into my thoughts. I am very open and I'm sure we're going to get to this, but I'm very open. I have anxiety and that was a place to like, really like there's nothing more you can do than be in your thoughts. And so it was a very therapeutic meditative thing for me, which I think is actually why I ended up liking it. I don't know that I love the actual activity itself, but it's how I felt when I was done.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm very open and honest about my mental health. I hate calling them issues because whatever, but anxiety, depression. I've recently been diagnosed with ADHD. So I have like the cocktail of pills I take. Yeah, I have the cocktail of meds every morning. And, you know, now it's allergy season. So the handful gets larger. But my daughter's a runner. She's pretty good. She runs a lot. And we noticed that during COVID. She started running during COVID because her anxiety was really high. It's like, you got to get out and get your heart rate up. She started running and she's like, oh, I kind of like it. And I was like, well, maybe you should join cross country. And then she joined that. And now she's going to college and going to run track and cross country. So the meditative thing, I was a swimmer in high school and I've recently, like, well, over the past decade or whatever, as I've learned about my anxiety and myself, I now know why I loved that so much, right? It's very much the same. It's repetitive. You can't really chat while you're swimming. So it's just back and forth, counting, breathing. Do you still run?
I am not running right now. However, I in contemplating a comeback, I will be honest. Through that whole journey, and part of what I did during that time was actually got certified to be, I am a certified running coach.
You should coach me. Maybe I should start running.
I'll coach anybody. I will coach anybody. However, my true focus when I was really coaching were women like you. Mm-hmm. Women were like, no, I'm not a runner. I can't run. I don't want to run. I'll only run for, you know, cupcakes and zombies. Like, those were the people that I love to help the most. But I will coach. I have a good friend who I coach who is a man who runs fast, who like is everything you think a runner should be. He's that. And I'll coach him also. But my preferred demographic are women who want to start running and don't know where to start.
Yeah, I love the idea of running. Like that I need to go on a run this afternoon because I'm so freaking just need to get into my... I've been told multiple times by multiple healers that I need to get out of my head and into my heart. Like stop living up here and get more into your body and focus on...
That running is going to do that though. There's so much, like, to me, it's all about being in your head. Like, running is where all of the really great ideas people will tell you either the shower or running are where all the great ideas are had.
When I'm driving,
there you go,
because I'm stuck.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, you're not going to get out of your head in running. But no. It's a creative place. I would say it's a creative place when you're out for a run.
So you had a blog.
Yes.
You were running lots. You lost a ton of weight. Congratulations. I'm sure that was amazing. Great job. I know that how hard that is. When I told you about the podcast and what I was hoping to inspire people in terms of like being more authentic online, less masking, let's get real about, you know, authenticity in ourselves and anxiety and make social media, you know, a better place to hang out and blah, 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 blah. What part of intro to you when I was babbling was like, oh, that connects to what I used to do?
So I was always authentic, and that's who I am in my day-to-day life. Who you see is who you get. You take it or leave it. And I know I'm not for everybody.
And so
I had blogged about just my journey, but where the authenticity really started was I was starting to finally have confidence. I was happy with myself, but something was still off. And I realized that it was anxiety. And I felt like I was being semi unauthentic because I wasn't sharing that part, right? Like, I was running away from it. I'll be honest. Like, when I'm out for a run, I was like trying to get rid of it. Like, that doesn't exist. And in reality, I realized that it's a huge part of who I am. And I used to say it was my superpower, and it still is. But I now know I have ADHD, which is actually my superpower. And anxiety is just a part of the superpower. But I realized that anxiety was a superpower that drove me. And I actually saw it once I was willing to embrace it. I saw it as a positive. And I can tell you exactly where I was, what I was doing. And I'm just like, I'm going to write a blog post about this, and I'm going to be as raw as I can. And I remember telling you.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you, but how many years, let's put this into perspective, because I feel like you were probably before, you were 2014.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were before like this, like anxiety became
cool,
trending. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm glad people are talking about it, right? People didn't talk about it at that time. And I wanted to normalize the discussion because I don't think it should be taboo. So many of us walk around with it and we hide it, when in reality, like I said, I think for a lot of us, we don't realize that I think it's an untapped superpower for a lot of people, and they don't realize what it can do for you if you harness it in the right way.
Okay. So I'm really anxious to hear A, about the blog post, and B, how I can harness my anxiety in the right way.
Okay. So I recall reaching out to my husband, and I am very lucky to have a super supportive husband who knows what he got into when he married me. He likes to joke, we were together for 11 years before we got married. So he's like, I vetted her really well. So he knew what he got into.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to post a blog post about my anxiety. And he's like, are you sure that's what you want to do? I don't think you should do that. What if your boss sees that? What if someone sees it? And I'm like, so what if they see it? I mean, if you're going to fire me, because at that time we didn't talk about it, right? Like, if you're going to fire me because you found out that I have anxiety, well, that's your problem and not my problem. Mm-hmm. And I doubled down with him. I'm like, nope. And while I'm on the phone, I'm like, submit. I'm like, it's out there. You can go read it.
He's like, oh, okay.
And let's be clear. I had lots of interactions on my posts before. I always had comments. I was always interacting. And I have always believed that if you put something out there, it's not a post and run. It's a post and interact. I think that's truly important. And I wish that my blog still existed so I could have gone back because I do think it would be interesting. I know there were well over 100 comments on it saying, thank you for sharing. I have anxiety too, but I've been scared to tell people. And I'm probably going to cry right now. It was just so eye-opening to see how many people hide it and how thankful people were that someone was willing to just be honest and put it out there.
Yeah. I write a lot of content about anxiety, and I do have a lot of people come up to me, even like, you know, sitting down at a restaurant, having lunch with my daughter. Someone came up and was like, I just need to thank you for your posts. I was like, oh, what do you mean? She's like, oh, you're just always so relatable. And you say things that people are thinking, but aren't brave enough to say on their own. And it feels pretty damn good when you connect with people at that level, or you impact unintentionally people at that level.
I used to coach girls on the run, and it was something I truly loved because it was all about developing young girls into having self-confidence and feeling comfortable in who they are and using their voice and getting the skills to be able to cope with everything that's going to come as you grow up. And I like, it's just amazing how small the world is. I'm getting out of my car, grabbing my coaching bag, and a mom walks over to me, not one of my girls' parents, and walks over to me and she said, are you getting fit to find myself? And I'm like, well, I am. And she's like, I just got to tell you that your blog speaks so much to me. And when you started talking about your anxiety, it was just so comforting to know that I wasn't alone. And that was a moment in my life. And there's been moments like that, but it was the first, and it will stand out for me. Like, that's when I knew I was doing what I was supposed to be doing and what people needed to hear.
In my work, I try to describe moments like that and stories like that as pivot stories, because they're stories of a personal experience that leads to you either thinking differently. Maybe it's, you know, it lends to some professional expertise. Maybe you lean into authenticity because of that story and know how important it is. So I think we have more of those stories than we think, than what we know. A lot of us don't think that we have anything interesting to say from what, you know, my conversations with people are like, oh, I don't need a personal brand. I have nothing important to say. And it's just not true. Like, we all have those personal experiences, those tiny moments, like getting out of your car, going to, you know, a routine event of yours. And then like, oh, yep, that's one I will remember forever.
It is seared in my brain in a positive way, right? Yeah. Like, it's one of those points where I know if I had questioned what I was doing, there were no more questions. I was putting out the right things that people wanted and needed versus just putting something out there to get attention. Because let's be clear, I mean, I believe it. I believed it back then. I believe it to today. Some people do these things for attention, and that's not what I was seeking. It was whether I connected with one person or 5 million people. It was that connection that I was seeking when I started.
Yeah. How did that blog lend to your leadership philosophy of authenticity?
I think it goes hand in hand. It was getting comfortable to put that content out. So getting comfortable to talk about my anxiety. And this is always the part that is, I've learned a lot. But people always do the gasp. I live in Minnesota, as do you. You do know that we have this thing called snow. And as a runner, like, it never crossed my mind, right? Like, it's snow. I deal with it every day. It's not a big deal. And I one day went out, and it was February 2nd. It was the most gorgeous day. And I just needed some fresh air. Went out for a run. And as I'm on my run, these giant snowflakes, and people can't see me holding my hands up, but they were like softball size. And they were like, you could see the intricate detail on them. And it's the most amazing run I've ever been on in my entire life. And I will say that. And I came running down a hill. I hit a patch of ice because I didn't see it under the snow. I landed on my head and I was knocked out. And I laid on the street for somewhere to 5 to 7 minutes and came to. And my life drastically changed after that.
Oh my gosh, this is a pivot I wasn't expecting. Yeah. All right. Well, that answers though maybe why you don't run right now.
I have struggled. I don't run in the winter anymore, no matter what.
I didn't mean to like derail us. Okay. 5 to 7 minutes laying unconscious in a snowstorm in Minnesota.
Yes. And so I realized between being open about my anxiety and then being open about my recovery process. And I ended up being out of work for 6 months. And it was like, I was very lucky. I ended up with as bad of concussion you can get. Like I was there, but it, and I don't want to say, but it was a mild traumatic brain injury. So I wasn't in the hospital forever, but I had to go through physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. And let's just talk about all of the regular therapy that I had to go through.
My gosh, I can't imagine.
But through that process, I learned a lot about who I was and what I wanted to be. And I realized that I was going to show up I'm going to be me no matter what. And that I wanted people to see who I was and never question it, which is why I am the leader I am today. So I kept putting content out there while I was recovering. It was harder. In the beginning, I did quite a few vlogs, and that was kind of the beginning of vlogging, because I couldn't look at a computer screen. I couldn't do a lot of that. But I realized that through that journey and being open and honest about who I was and what I was, I don't know a better way to say this, but people respected it. And I don't want to say I got followers from it, because that is not what I was ever trying to do. But I realized that I could be a leader because I am comfortable sharing and helping people get to where they want to go. And that is how I decided that, you know, I really wanted to move into leadership and ultimately be authentic in doing that. And I know that I will not be the right manager for everybody. And I also know that there are going to be people who hire me who don't appreciate my style, because, you know, part of being a leader is sometimes not sharing everything because we have to, you know, make it safe for people. But my teams all have always known that I will share as much as I can, and I will bring you along on the journey, and I won't tell you things that maybe could hurt you right now without seeing the bigger picture, but you're going to know as much as I can possibly share with you. And my door is always open, and you can come in and yell at me. You could come and scream at me. I'm here for you, because we all have those days, right? Like yeah. What you get is what you see.
I really respect that. So sharing your recovery, I'm sure that was really vulnerable for you. Do you think that the authenticity, one of the things that I've been studying is if, and I know it does because all the statistics or whatever, but authenticity improves mental health, like us being able to show up unmasked as we are in honesty and in community. Do you think that that's true?
1,000%. It's 1,000%, because you don't have to put on a mask, right? We're not masking, and you're not having to pretend or show up as someone. I mean, the stress that comes from not being yourself.
Oh, I know.
I feel for people who do that day in and day out. Like, you've got to get home, you've got to be exhausted. And it's just a whole lot easier to be who you are. And part of sharing my recovery story was getting comfortable with who I was, right? Like, I was a type A, everything's got to be perfect. If it's not perfect, then I shouldn't do it. I'm going to show up 175,000,000%, and I can't let anybody down. And through that recovery process, probably the bump in the head did actually change my personality in some ways, which is totally cool. And I'm very happy. Like, I'll now tell you, it's one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. But if you would have asked me 2 to 3 years after my accident, I had a whole lot of anger. And yeah. Now I will tell you that I am so thankful that I fell and hit my head that day, because I got to a place that I still want to do a really good job, but I know I can't be perfect. And I still want to show up as who I am. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to change who I am for you. And it is what it is.
So the other thing I want to talk about is anxiety as a superpower, right? Because that was something that you mentioned. But there's something in the fact of the being sure about yourself, knowing yourself, being comfortable with yourself, maybe even loving yourself, that maybe allowed you to do that. I don't want to say easier, because I don't know if it's ever easy to be vulnerable. But people who aspire to be authentic, like who people are like looking at some content being like, oh, I really wish I could show up like that person. Like, that's how I see myself, but I don't feel like showing up that way. Do you have advice for that person? And then I want to talk about anxiety as a superpower, because I'm a huge mental health advocate. And
Yeah, I do. I think there are a couple of ways people can start to flex that muscle, because I think it's a muscle, right? You've got to get comfortable with it. It's starting with the people around you, because a lot of us, if we are masking, we're also masking with the people around us. And maybe not that person who lives in your home with you, but your coworkers, and letting that go a little bit with others, letting that go. And I had a good friend who wanted to do this a little bit more online. And my suggestion to her was, and let's be clear, I don't know the terminology anymore, but like Instagram was the thing. And so it was stories, right? I'm like, be a little more authentic in your stories. If you still want a curated picture where you're holding your running shoes and a watch and put that on your grid, go for it. But be more of who you are in your stories. It's not going to stay forever unless you put it in some album. It can go away. And then all of a sudden starts to become a little more natural. And you start to see, like, it was interesting to see how things slowly started to change for her. And it became so less curated. And well, we all know when you are in that, it's all curated, right? Like, there's very few candid moments that when you're posting on Instagram, or you've sat around and thought about it, but it becomes more natural and less about what is right this moment and more about who you are as a person. And you show that, right?
Right. I do think authenticity can be curated. Like you said, it can be planned for. It can be intentional. It doesn't have to be this moment of me crying. I always tell people, like, you don't have to cry underneath your desk for it to be an authentic, candid moment. It can be a planned point you're making.
I completely agree. If you're truly putting your whole self into it, people can see and feel that. I'm a strong believer of that. But if you're doing this because you're getting paid by some sort of brand campaign and you're just doing it for that reason, people are going to feel that also.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, brand campaigns were just starting to come. Well, not just starting. When I started blogging, they were just starting to. And I did plenty of brand campaigns. I had a successful blog. But I will tell you, even then, I didn't participate in a brand campaign that I couldn't stand mm-hmm. behind. Like, I didn't care how much money or product they were going to give me. If it wasn't something I was going to use in my day-to-day life, you were not going to see me.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So that is going back to the muscle, the vulnerability as a muscle. I do think the more we post can be the smallest story, but the more we post and the better feedback we get and the more we flex that, I think the more and more vulnerable we get. I've seen it with my clients, like what they're comfortable saying at the beginning of a contract versus like a year into it is very different, right? Like the conversations that we're having to build out their content strategy is way more personal and authentic than when we start, just because people don't know how they want to show up until they start showing up and it evolves, right? Like we all evolve and we all.
You can see it. You can see people evolve too in the way they comment, like the way they reply to comments. And I think that's really mm-hmm. important too, is to, you know, I think I also am very sensitive in the world that we are in today, no matter what. You do have to be sensitive in what you're saying and what you're doing, because everybody is different. And so I've cautioned a couple of my friends that, you know, I also think authentically reply to people, but also don't allow it to be weaponized, right? So we're in a place where
anger and fear are leading a lot of the content right now.
And so be as authentic as you can be, but also keep yourself safe. Right. And I think we've seen this coming. It's just, it's the way social media has changed. When I say things like that, I feel like I'm old. I don't think like the dawn of social media, but it has changed from when it started to what it is today.
I started Brand Yourself in 2011. And that was right when Instagram was like it was before Instagram. I mean, I always tell myself like I'm a dinosaur when you talk like social media strategy. I was of the click like if you like cats to drive engagement. Like it was like that's how it all started, right? And now it's obvious. I mean, thank God it's evolved past that because
I agree.
I love memes, but yeah. And I think we as humans, as we become more authentic and get maybe more sturdy in our impact and what we want to say, also evolve, right? And that's why I think like personal brands evolve with us.
They do.
Set in stone. Let's talk a little bit about anxiety as a superpower. Do you think your anxiety got better or worse after your accident?
I think parts of it got better and parts of it got worse. Okay. So it changed.
Yeah.
So as a superpower, I have always been driven. And instead of letting my anxiety drive me, I started to use it to drive. Oh. I started to lean into, so this intrinsic feeling of always needing to achieve and do and doing a lot of things, I harnessed it and I used it for getting further in what I wanted to do.
Would that be like what came to mind when you said that is like an edge, right? Like a leadership edge or like you're afraid of it. So you push through it a little bit.
That's exactly what it was. It was, I have all these things I want to do, but I always let the anxiety like hold me because, well, I can't pick the wrong one. What if I pick the wrong one? And it's like, just pick one. And if it's the wrong one, you'll figure that out and you can go back. Nothing is set in stone, right?
Right.
Like, and I started to let that be like, I would start doing things and instead of letting the anxiety push me into a place where it was like, oh, stop, you're getting uncomfortable. It was leaning into like feeling the uncomfort and saying, that's your anxiety. And then it made me push harder in a more positive way. So I want to be like, it's like, well, if I'm uncomfortable, then that means I'm also growing because you don't grow when you're comfortable.
Sometimes I wish that weren't true, but yes.
And so I let my anxiety help me feel like the more I got anxious also meant the more I was growing because I was pushing myself.
I like that. I don't know if I've ever heard that said. I've never looked at it that way, I guess.
I always
look at it as being like hyper aware, which is the ADHD too, right? Like as the positive, but the using it to drive the ship is definitely not something I've tried.
You have to know yourself. You have to know. But when I say that, like, I didn't know myself. I leaned into therapy.
I've invested a lot in therapists.
I always tell people therapists are like dating. If the first one's not right, don't keep trying it. Just let them know and go find the right one. I found the right one. I have been with her for a very long time. And sometimes I get worried. And then I also remember that she's so good. She's the first to call me on my BS. Like,
mine is too.
No. And then she's also the first to be like, you know what? You're right. Like,
give yourself some grace. Of course you're feeling this way. Yeah. Mine does too.
Yeah. And so I used my anxiety as a barometer to figure out what I really wanted to do. And so I suppose I would say it was similar, like, the more nervous I got about something also meant it was the more excited I was.
Well, and that's, you know, that's been proven by science too, right? Like sometimes we don't know the difference between anxiety and excitement. That's one of the things that me and my daughter worked on a lot. She had a lot of race anxiety as a runner.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just need to trick your brain into understanding that this is excitement. Not, you know, I don't know if that worked, but that was my two cents for her.
Truly what it was for me. It wasn't here and like, I would actually use the event where you and I met because I was challenged by my leader to start networking this year. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy people. I'm not great at small talk. It makes me so uncomfortable.
It's the ADHD in us.
And so she's like, but you need to start networking more. You are advancing in your career. However, without that network of people who are not people you interact with on a day-to-day basis or in our day-to-day career is going to help you grow so much. And so that event I met you at was, in a way, a forced experiment because she had told me I had to go do something. So that is what I was doing.
Forced fun. Forced family fun is what I always tell my kids about it. Like, no, we're doing this is forced. Forced fun.
And I will tell you, I walked into it super anxious and I walked away knowing that anxiousness was probably anxiousness walking in, but it was excitement walking away because it was fun. It was not nearly as terrible as I thought networking would be.
They do a good job, Team Women, though. Shout out to Katie Burke.
Team Women does it.
Yeah, great. For sure.
I mean, my sad little secret is that I had been a member for an entire year before and could not make myself go to an event because I didn't want to. So that was my first event. So that is like for me to walk away and tell you that they're amazing. Like I watched from afar. They looked amazing, but they're as amazing as they look like from afar.
That's good. So Jason, my husband and I have been together forever. And he's like, you're the one that can go into the bar and make a friend. He's the one that keeps them.
Yes.
Because I become uninterested very fast in conversations unless I know that we're going to go like deep, right? And he's like, you can find the friends. I'm the reason they stick around sometimes, which I totally agree. But walking into something when you're not feeling extroverted is hard. I would label myself as an introvert more than an extrovert, but I don't think people know that about me.
So I like to say that I'm an introverted extrovert. So like on the Myers-Briggs, if you look at the Myers-Briggs, yeah. And it goes, you know, zero is in the middle and it's, I don't know if it's 20 or 25 or whatever on each side to the introvert and extrovert. And I'm literally a two on the extrovert. And once I'm comfortable, I can shine, but until I'm comfortable, and that's why I don't like small talk. And to your point, like you can quite literally, it's embarrassing to say, but the part of you make the friends and he keeps them, like you can see me glaze over. There is a point in time where you can just watch it happen.
I've had clients call me out on it. One of my very good friends right now, she started out as a client and she's the very first person that was like, Tammy, you look so uninterested in like this meeting right now. Like my face holds all of it, but I can glaze over. But it's also the face that I get when I'm thinking something. So I call it my strategy face. But when I'm out making small talk, that's when yes. I check my phone and become fairly rude.
I will tell you that's when I say, oh, I have to run to the restroom.
Yeah. Bye. So tips for people walking in who are nervous at a networking event.
Talk to other people. That sounds like what you're supposed to do, but let other people tell you about them. People want to talk about themselves.
Most people do, yeah.
And so let them start talking. And the other thing is, you know, we were at a networking event, but don't lead with where you work and what you do.
Right. There's so much more interesting about us.
Yes. Lead with you. Lead with, you know, who you are. What do you enjoy? Why are you here? Sure, that can maybe go to work, but it may also just be like, hey, I'm trying to push myself, which is what I was trying to do. Like, I also know that I'm perfectly content in my perfect little bubble, right? And again, I will tell you, I live by the saying, you're not changing if you're not challenging yourself. And that was a moment where I was really challenging myself and I had fun doing it. And so also give yourself a little bit of time. And this is what I tell people when they run too. I feel like it's the same in walking into one of these events. Just, I would tell someone to just go out for a run. You can always turn around, but go out for a run. And 97% of the time you're going to finish that run because you got out the door. Because the problem is getting out the door.
Yeah.
Go to the event. Nobody says you have to stay for anything. And so if you're not enjoying yourself, there's nothing wrong with getting up and going out to the car and going home.
Yeah. I think that's good for anxiety too. Is like, you're not stuck, right? Like walk you have choice. Door. Yep. This is like my favorite conversations. We've talked about anxiety, mental health, authenticity. Before we started recording, I asked what you thought of the other episodes of the podcast. That's the whole goal of my podcast is to inspire people to be more authentic. We can call it candid. We can call it vulnerable. We can call it brave. You can call it anything you want, but what is the power behind it?
the power is that you're going to connect with someone, and more than likely you're going to connect with multiple people who are looking for someone. And model might be the wrong word, but looking for someone with similarities who have this, and how are they coping? How are they doing this? And that's the power, is being able to impact one or a million people. That's the power of authenticity.
Yeah, it is. Preach.
So I love your podcast, and that's not just because I'm talking to you, because I'm a straight shooter. And well, there's this Minnesota Nice thing. I don't have it. I didn't get that.
The ADHD thing too. Very direct. We can be direct.
But we were talking about Nora's podcast, and she said something that I think that if you weren't listening too close to, you probably just went past it, but about you should never turn your comments off. Or was it you who, one of you were... And it's so true. If you want to be authentic, don't turn your comments off.
Yeah.
That's how people can reach out to you. That's how people can connect with you. And that's a really important thing.
I think in this day and age too, I think I might have just shared I shared something about, maybe it wasn't him. I don't know. I have to learn how to have a conversation with people that we don't agree with.
You do. We do.
And like, it is not modeled well online. Like, it is not modeled well. To have a conversation with someone you don't agree with online. But if you turn your comments off, you aren't going to be able to open yourself up to any of those lessons either.
And there's so much we can learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say I am listening to a book called The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics in Religion.
Oh boy. Light read then.
It's a real light read. But I feel like in the world we're living in right now, it's been really informative. And it is one of those things where they talk about, assume people, most people, there are some people who are just not nice, right? But, and you know, there's the keyboard cowboys who are comfortable because they're not seeing their face. But yeah. In a lot of cases, if someone's saying something, it maybe comes off as if it's an attack. It may just be the way they are phrasing something and they aren't great at it. And they're looking, if they're in your comments, I'd like to believe that they're looking to understand. And so this is a place to educate as well. And I don't know that it's the best platform, but also it's the platform we all have.
Well, and you know, I don't know of a different one. Like you said, it's the one we have. I don't know of a different town halls and stuff face to face, but the power of social media, as we've seen, to influence is real. And I think to your point of not assuming ill intent with every comment, assume maybe some love and kindness out of people. I wish more people would go there. I always tell people that their content is a digital reflection of their energy. And I wish there was more reflections of love and kindness versus the very, very polarized view of everything else.
I think that's so true. And I guess it's also in regards to energy, it's who you are. It's what you're putting out, or that's what people think you are.
One of my other podcast guests, Amy, she said that, you know, if she got hit by a bus tomorrow and her kids read her post, like, that really hit me hard too. Like, oh my God, am I proud of what I'm putting up there online?
I thought that one was a hard one for me as someone who like fell and hit their head, and like people started to have to do things for me. And it's like, am I going to be okay with everything that's out there? I won't say that I considered my husband, my parents, my brother, my family, everything I put out there. But I also know to be authentic, like I care what people think too, right? Like I'm not going to change who I am, but also I want to make people proud.
Yeah. And you don't want to hurt people. Oh, Missy, this has been so fun. I really am grateful for you pushing that edge of you're coming on my, no, I'm not coming on your podcast.
I will tell you, I got in the car and I'm like, Missy, you shut that down real fast. Even like, that's the comfort zone, right? So I was like, nope, not doing it. And then I got in the car and I had a 20-minute drive. And I'm like, why are you?
Why did I not? So I'm really grateful that you shared time with me. And I hope that we'll see each other at another event soon.
I am making myself go to 4. I'm registered for 4, but I hope to see you also. Ooh, yeah. It's my goal for this year.
Yeah. Let me know on LinkedIn which ones you're going to, just so I can make sure to seek you out and to let you know if I'm there.
That is wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Do you want to be found? Do you want to say where people could find you?
I will say that I am on Instagram. However, I haven't posted in over a year, but I do go out there. I am Missy Bozer on Instagram. You're more apt to interact with me on LinkedIn if people want to go there. And it is Melissa Bozer. That's okay. My given name that I never use, because if you call me Melissa, I won't look at you. But I'm on there.
Cool. Well, we'll link that in the show notes. I wish your blog was still, I wish I could link that in there, but we'll envision it as the
someday
authentic.
Down the road, I'll be honest, yeah. It's buried in the archives. I have it all there. I pay for it every year. But
boy, here we go. You're going to run again. You're going to bring back that blog. You're going to invite me to your podcast. She's like, no.
Who knows? I'll never say never, right?
Okay.
Never say never.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. This was a really fun conversation.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, friend, for listening. My thanks to Brand Out Loud Design for their audio branding and sound design. If you enjoyed the show and want to share it with others, why not leave us a 5-star review? And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Enfield. And until next time, authentically yours, I'm Tammy, and this is the Candid Content Revolution.